There's a man who lives beside me who fought in World War II. He proudly waves, oh glory, from high upon his roof. He starts out every morning like it's Independence Day. I've seen him at attention salute the flag and say, I love this land from sea to shining sea. I love this land, home of the brave and free. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation under God. I love this land. All across this country, in big cities, little towns, while mama's getting ready, Dad pulls the car around. They join the congregation to sing Amazing Grace. They're free to worship Jesus, and they are free to pray. I love this land from sea to shining sea.
This land this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing it is to be a citizen of the United States of America.
Amen.
And what a blessing it is. Of course, that was by God's sovereignty and His grace that I was born here, and so are you. And of course, those who have become citizens, praise the Lord as well, that He can bring them from near and far to be part of our great country, our great land. And I will say, this past week, there was a victory in our land, the U.S. of A., and the Roe versus Wade overturned. And we praise the Lord for the Supreme Court that overturned Roe versus Wade, ending constitutional rights to abortion. And so we praise the Lord for that. Of course, you have the left wingers, the liberals, much of the millennials that are in the college age, out protesting and not agreeing with what happened, the overturn. But anyway, we're not going to get on that right now. Other than I'll just say that There doesn't need to be birth control. There needs to be self-control. There doesn't need to be abortion. There just needs to be godly principles set in place. People need to get saved and know there's a divine order of things that will solve the problem that we're having in our country.
Amen.
But praise the Lord for the victory that we had this past week, and we will ride that out as long as we can on to our next victory. But the Lord's good this morning. So good to be here in his house. Let me say it's good to see Brother Gerald Carroll with us this morning. Gerald Carroll. And we were honored to be able to be in the memorial service of Miss Francis, me and Brother Snyder, and the other week. And I mentioned three things about Miss Francis in my mini sermon. One of the things was her name, and the name Francis means to be set free. And just praise the Lord that she's finally set free, but also that for a long time I had their names confused. At first I thought it was Gerald Francis and then Carol Francis. And so for 6 months I was wondering why Miss Francis didn't respond to me when I said, "Hey, Miss Carol," because it was Miss Francis. But anyway, we had a good laugh at the memorial service, but what a blessing she was, Brother Gerald, for the time that I've known her and have known you. Your family is a blessing to many, and just so glad to see you this morning, brother. Just seeing you refreshes my spirit, and so good to have you. So good to have others that are here visiting with us. If this is your first time visiting at Calvary, would you raise your hand? We do have some visiting with us that are not members, but it's so good to have you this morning. And we consider you family by this point. And so just make yourself at home. A few things I do want to mention. I want to mention that Miss Mary Rich, she had a fall this past week. She, as many of you know, they were on their way to the Ark encounter, Mary and Lee Ellen and Donna Carla. She had a fall at Bucky's. She had a fall at Bucky's, believe that? And she fractured her elbow. Several other things happened, but they went on to the Ark encounter. And I guess they're still out that way this morning or on the way home one. But pray for her and her recovery on that. Dolores and Leonard Palmer. Miss Dolores she's been battling COVID, but Leonard has it now. And so she texted me this morning. I told him I mentioned them. Pray for them. Also, this past Thursday, we had Brother Ed Sanvey's burial over at the Georgia National Cemetery. We just had a close time of prayer together, Miss Mary Ann and family, just a small number as we were there with Brother Ed's as they had a special place for his cremains. And so you just remember Miss Mary Ann and family, and you know we love you and we're here for you. So appreciate that. Remember, tonight will be our PM fellowship at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. We'll have just some sandwiches, and then we'll have a little mini devotion, and then we'll have some sandwiches, and that will be our service tonight. Tonight's devotion actually coincides with this morning's message, and I want to give everybody an opportunity to say a few words tonight, and you can go ahead and think about it. But tonight's topic is, what are you rejoicing about? Or what is it that you can rejoice about? So keep that fresh on your minds. That's going to be for tonight. Coincides with this morning. Camp Ivy is coming up. Our young people are heading that way, July 17th through the 22nd. I'm sure there's other details that I'll probably fail to mention. If you have any questions, Brother Brian Busby, Miss Darlene, of course, probably any house parent or director could let you know something about that. But it's coming up quick, and so if you have a young person that would like to attend, please see one of them or even myself, and we'll direct you in the right place. Next Sunday is July 3rd, and following that will be the 4th of July, Monday. And so we're kind of doing our music today for next Sunday. For that, honoring, celebrating 4th of July, Brother Allen won't be here, Brother David won't be here. And so we're actually praying about what to do with next Sunday night, since we're going to be so low in number. And I was telling someone, I said, well, if we had 400 or 500 people on Sunday morning and a portion stayed out, we'd still have 200 or 300 Sunday night, and which would accommodate using all the resources. And and so just help us pray about that. For I don't want us to feel like every time we turn around we're calling off a service. I don't want to be guilty of that, but I do want to be a good steward of what we have here. And so remember that. And then looking down the road a little bit, I did want to mention it, give you something to be expecting and excited for. August the 28th on Sunday, I was invited to preach at Floyd Row Baptist Church's homecoming. And so I'll be over there preaching then. But Brother Craig Edwards is going to be in that meeting. Their jubilee follows homecoming. And Craig Edwards is going to be in that meeting that week. And so we kind of talked. And on that morning, Brother Craig Edwards will be preaching here while I'm preaching there. And then he's going to come back and preach that night, because I want to be able to hear him here. So that's August 28th, Sunday morning. Just a little treat for you. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Brother Craig Edwards. And so remember those things. Again, we can mention all kinds of other things coming up, things, people on the prayer list. But I just wanted to shoot those things out there to you this morning briefly. And do remember all of those on our prayer list. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Harold? For the camp? Yeah, that's one date, August 28th. Yes, sir. Something a little special this time. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you today for who you are, for what you do. Lord, there's many, many people that are suffering, going through difficulties, as we say each and every Sunday, Wednesday. And Lord, you know who they are. I pray today that we would just focus our attention on you and have a positive mindset toward this day, and have a positive mindset toward this next coming week. Lord, help us just rejoice about some things and find comfort in the things that you've done and the things that you're doing now. And Lord, the things we know that you want to do. And God, we just lift up all of these prayer requests to you. Be with those who need you the most. And we thank you for those that are here today. God, I pray you'll move in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
word is always. Do you hear that word? Always. More than enough. He's been more than enough for us. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's always present. The Bible says he's an ever-present help in a time of what? We are so thankful that he's in the house this morning. We did do things a little differently this morning. We did kind of get ahead a week. But in the midst of everything that's gone on, I thought it would just be strengthening to us that we might hear about what God has done for our great country that we live in. And he continues to. And we need to continue to pray for the direction of those that make some very, very critical decisions in our world. We need to lift up our leaders in prayer. Hear this, you need to pray for your president. Whether we like him, whether we don't, he's our president, and it's up to us to pray that God would have his hand upon our country and continue to bless us in the way that he has. But it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning, and we just thank you for being here. Pray the Lord just give us a great day. Please remember all the prayer requests. Let me say very quickly, Brother Ed left behind some beautiful ties. So there's some here this morning. If you'd like to take him home with you in a sense and remember him, I got me a couple of wonderful ties Miss Marion brought this morning. There's some here. Guys, if you want to take one home with you, after the service, feel free to come down and be an opportunity to just kind of take a little portion of Brother Ed home with you today. What a blessing. But we're, again, glad to be in his house. Let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Ask God's blessing on the offering this morning. CJ, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer?
God, we're so proud to be here this morning in your church. We love you. We love what you've done for our lives. We love you. We celebrate us. We love
precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. Just once again, I long to feel His presence.
I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I have cleansing
my soul. My soul was hungry. I've been washed I cried when far away from you, my heart would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Take me now, oh God, I know I need you.
I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the mountain.
My soul was hungry.
It's good to be here this morning. And let me mention this about tonight's fellowship. We will have a receiving donations for that. We'll either have a designated area to give, or you can just give to Miss Christy, Miss Amanda, and we'll get in the right hands. And so let's remember that. Yeah, I guess we can. Sir? We'll talk about it in a little while. We will be giving testimony, so I'd like to have Facebook Live tonight. We'll discuss the church audio. So remember that. In a correction, David Barker will be here next Sunday morning, but Sunday night will not. And so we'll just want to correct myself on that. I know I missed an opportunity here just a moment ago. I don't think Carter is up here, but I'll say it now and I'll say it tonight downstairs. But we have a tournament champion. I tried to ask. Round of applause. He's won a lot of tournaments, but this one was a big one. This one was a big one. When I say big one, that means that this was something big. And that's Southern slang there. And this was a big win down in Savannah, I believe it was. Savannah. And he's going on to, I believe, play in USA baseball. So we just wanted to mention that. We'll mention it tonight. But what a blessing that is. Keep it up, Carter and Mom and Dad, having him play, because one day he may play for the Braves. You never know. But anyway. All right. Well, let's get spiritual. How about it? Book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. I want to read one verse this morning just after we pray, and that is verse number 4. Philippians 4:4, after we pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the blessings of life and eternal life to those that belong to you. I pray the next few moments you'll give me a clear head, a calm heart. Lord, give me the tongue of the learned. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help me communicate the truths you show to me to the hearts of your people. Help me not say anything that's not from you, but everything, let it be said that is from you. We love you today. We praise you today. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. This morning, we could easily be discouraged by looking around us in this world, seeing all the things that aren't happening we would like to see happen, and just to see all of the sin and all of the things coming down the pike, turning on the television and seeing how they're trying to push alternate lifestyles into our living rooms, and that it's okay for man to be with man and woman to be with woman. They have distorted, or let me just back up and say, they have tried to distort the rainbow image. And that will never be distorted, because that's a thing of God, a covenant that God will never flood the earth again. But all these things are taking place politically, politicians, the pandemic even. I remember back in 2020, it's hard to say I remember back in 2020, but back in 2020 when it was no one here but my family and I preaching to the screen, to the cell phone, I would mention three things almost in every service: the pandemic, politics, and protesting. Because that was what was going on during that time. You can remember in Atlanta all of the upheaval and just the looting taking place. And then it started to spread through our country. And And so I remember saying those three things, but those three things are still happening today. We just don't hear about a lot of the protesting today. But we can look around and easily, we can even look within our churches and see a waning of church attendance, and we could get discouraged. We could look at our church budgets and get discouraged. We could look at our homes, and we could look at things that are not happening in the home as we would like, and we could easily get discouraged. If we're not careful, we can look on every end, on every corner, read every line on any kind of article, and we could definitely hang our heads in discouragement. But this morning, I want us to take a positive stance. This morning, I want us to have a viewpoint that's positive. I want us to go against everything in our flesh that wants to be down and that wants to be discouraged. And this morning, I want to preach on that one word, that word rejoice. Word rejoice. And again, I want to challenge all of our hearts, starting with me, just to look on the positive side of things. Notice, if you would, in verse 4, Philippians 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Again, he places a double emphasis here, and that is with significance. Now, the word rejoice in the King James Bible is mentioned 100 times. My study has found that the word rejoice is mentioned 100 times. You may find it mentioned a little bit more, or a little bit, or fewer than 100. But the word rejoice, it means to be glad. It means to own. It means to possess. It means to enjoy the possession of. It also can mean to boast in a good sense. And so this morning, we are challenging ourselves to be glad. We are challenging ourselves. I'm challenging us on the authority of God's word to be glad, to enjoy the possession of. If you're saved this morning, if you know Jesus as your Savior, I'm challenging you to enjoy your salvation. I'm challenging me to enjoy my salvation. And so this morning I want to say some things about the word rejoice. But before we get into the word rejoice, I do want to say that before we can get started on our road to rejoicing, we have to understand this is done intentionally. It's something that's done intentionally. Not only did Paul double emphasize the word rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, double emphasizing that it's something that we need to do. But at the same time and on the same token, it's something that has to be done intentionally. What do I mean be done intentionally? Well, if you're waiting on emotions to motivate you to rejoice, it could be a roller coaster. If you're waiting on certain emotions to captivate your heart and mind, it may be a little while. Because the truth of the matter is, if we look around in our world, in our churches, in our homes, there's a lot of things that discourage us. But if we intentionally say, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, I'm not going to focus on what's on the, in this world, but I'm going to focus on heaven and focus on God with an intentional motive, then and only then can we really rejoice. Because emotions are not always there to couple our rejoicing. Let me give you a couple examples about being intentional in rejoicing. Number one, David in Psalm 121, I'll give it to you, verse 1 and 2. Listen to what David says. Psalm 121 in verse 1, David says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. David said, I will. He said, this is something I'm deciding to do. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. So this, I guess, kind of gives the idea that maybe David was looking down. Do we have any downlookers this morning? Did anybody come to church with maybe your physical eyes are looking out, but spiritually your spiritual eyes are looking down? You're discouraged, you're down. David says, I will look up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. David said that when I found no help horizontally, there was nobody here to help me, no man stood with me, there was no help to be found horizontally on this earth. He said, I had to look vertically. And when I looked vertically, he said, I noticed that my help comes from the Lord. David says there was no help horizontally, I had to look vertically. And he said, in order to look vertically, I had to be intentional. He said, I will look, or I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And so I wonder this morning if anybody came in with eyes that are casted down, eyes that are on the ground. I want to challenge you this morning not to allow your feelings to dictate where you're looking at this morning. When we come into God's house, there may be a lot of people whose eyes spiritually are on the ground, but our eyes spiritually, by the end of the service at least, need to be on the Savior so that we can focus on Him and so that we can be motivated by Him. And again, emotions and things like that can cause us to have eyes on the ground. So David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then in the book of Jonah, chapter number 2 and verse 4, notice this. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Jonah being down in the belly of the whale and in the depths of the sea and all the seaweed surrounding him and attaching itself to him and strangling him. Jonah knowing that he ran from the Lord. Jonah knowing he caused the storm at sea on the ship with all of the mariners and the sailmen there. Yet Jonah cast himself out of the boat and the whale swallowed him up. But he said, even though I'm in this dark place, even though I'm down where I am deciding and I'm intentionally looking up because I know that's where my help comes from. And so this morning, with that said, if we're going to rejoice, we have to be intentional about it. Our feelings and our emotions most of the time are never there to help us do that. And so what can we say this morning about the word rejoice? Well, I want to give you four things that we can rejoice about. Four things. Number one, we can rejoice of our unchanging God. We can rejoice over our unchanging God. Here in Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why does Paul tell us that the focus of our rejoicing needs to be in the Lord? Because the Lord never changes. Circumstances change. People change. But he puts this double emphasis on rejoicing in the Lord because our Lord is an unchanging God. Hebrews 13 in verse number 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. How about that this morning? Our unchanging God. We're living in a world where things are constantly changing. Things are changing in churches. Things are changing in homes. Things are changing in individuals' lives, but God never changes. And we can rejoice in that today. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want to say that His promises are still sure. He isn't changing His promises. God's word is forever settled in heaven. 1 Kings chapter number 8 and verse 56 says this, there hath not failed one word of all His good promises. We can rejoice in our unchanging God because His promises are still sure. Everything that He said in this book is still sure. Everything He has said in this book is still relevant. This is the Word of God. These are the principles of God's Word. And every promise, every jot, every tittle is for sure and forever will be. This morning we can We can rejoice in our unchanging God because His promises are still sure. We can rejoice this morning in our unchanging God because His presence is still abiding. What a blessing that is this morning. We have, number one, God with us. Remember what Matthew said in Matthew chapter number 1, in verse 23? His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. What a blessing this morning. You may have been to the cemetery lately. You may have been to the hospital lately. You may have had a conversation with your doctor lately, and he may have told you you have cancer. You may have been in a foreign land lately. You may have been out of town lately, a place by yourself, a moment of loneliness, and you may have felt like that all men and women have forsaken you, and possibly they have. But God has not forsaken you. He was with you when you were in the cemetery at the funeral. He was with you when you were in the hospital room at the end of the surgery. He was with you during the time where you got that call from the doctor and he said you have cancer and you felt like nobody was there to help you with your emotions in hearing this news. God was with you. Many times we feel like we walk alone, and many times we feel, and possibly those feelings that we have, those are real feelings. Sometimes we feel like we walk alone, and sometimes we feel like we've been abandoned, and sometimes we feel like no one cares. But this morning, God cares. This morning, you're not alone. This morning, He's still with you every step of the way. Jesus, our Lord, is with us. So we see that His name is called Emmanuel, God with us. And we can rejoice about that this morning. We can rejoice not only that God is with us, but we can rejoice that God is for us. Many times people try to say that, well, God's against me, and God's going to strike me with a lightning bolt, and God's going to just do all these things towards me, and I know I'm saved, but I slipped this week, and God's mad at me, and he's going to, you know, chasing me sore, and he may chasing you sore, but His intention is not to hurt you, but His intention is to help you. You see, we have God not only with us, but God for us. Romans 8 and verse number 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? What a blessing it is that no matter how many fiery darts come from the wicked one, no matter how many tongue lashings come from man to try to break us down, doesn't matter what kind of warfare is formulated against us, doesn't matter what demon of hell tries to come against us, doesn't matter what trial comes our way, what storm we may find ourselves in, God is for us. God is for us this morning. Not only we have God with us, we have God for us, but those that are saved have God in us. John chapter number 14 in verse 17 says so. Summarization of that verse, he says, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you when the Holy Spirit's given. And He's already been given. So this morning, the first thing that we can rejoice about is simply this: our unchanging God. Our unchanging God in His unchanging promises, in His unchanging positions. He is always with us. He is always in us, for us. His promises are sure. His presence is abiding. If you can't rejoice about anything else this morning, you can rejoice about that one fact. We have an unchanging God. Not only that, but there's a second thing we can rejoice about. We can rejoice that our name is written in heaven. Turn over to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Those that are saved have their names written in heaven. Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 20. The Bible says this: notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. We can rejoice this morning, not that the devil is subject unto us or his little helpers, but we can rejoice, or at least we should rejoice more so, in the fact that our names are written in heaven. Jesus told his apostles here that they had victory over Satan and the spirit world, yet he placed special emphasis on rejoicing over their name being written in heaven, over having power over the spirits. If we're saved this morning, we can rejoice over our name being on heaven's roll. Listen to these verses. Revelation chapter number 20, verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 21, verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter in it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." There is a book of life. There is a Lamb's book of life, and your name can be written in it if it is not written in it. And Jesus says that we're to rejoice over the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. I remember, since I've been saved, of course, I got my put down my roots over at Floyd Road. We would sing church hymns every Sunday. One of them is, "I know my name is there. I know my name is there." Another one is, "A new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine." You ever heard that one? What about this one? "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'll be there." Those are good songs. Those are great songs. Those are Bible songs. And it'd be great to pull out one of these every once in a while. Hey, I may lead this song myself, lead one of these one day. About our names being written in the Lamb's book of life. Something we can rejoice about. Now, this morning, my name isn't recorded in a lot of places. My name isn't known among a lot of people, but my name is known in heaven. And I appreciate that from Jesus, that my name is written in his Lamb's book of life. So whatever happens down here, whatever storms may come, whatever trials may come, whatever problems may arise, try to discourage me, I can rejoice this morning because my name is written in heaven and I have an unchanging God. You can rejoice about the same things. Number three, we can rejoice because our God is at work. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Notice this in verse number 3. Romans 5 and verse number 3. Feels like I'm speed preaching this morning. I don't know why. I'm trying to slow down. Sometimes it's that way. Romans 5 and verse number 3. We can rejoice that our God is at work. Paul tells us we can rejoice that one day we will be in God's presence. Notice, if you would, let's just read verse number 1 down through verse 3. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And look at verse 3. "And not only so, but we glory." The other word, or another word for glory, is rejoice. "And not only so, but we glory or rejoice in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." How about that this morning? Verse 3 says that in the middle of our trials and our struggles, in the middle of those times where we feel like life is unraveling at the seams and falling apart, Jesus says that we can glory. We can rejoice. Now, we're not excited when we have a funeral. We're not excited when we get a bad doctor's report. We're not excited when we get behind on our mortgage. We're not excited when those things happen. Someone loses a job. When someone gets hurt. We're not excited about going through those things. Those things aren't fun. They don't come to my mind as something fun. But I don't think that's what the Bible is talking about. He's talking about the end result of what's happening. He's talking about the result of what these trials will do. If See, look at verse number 3, then 4 again. He says, and not only so, but we glory or rejoice in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, meaning that that hard place that you're in has an end goal it's going toward. Jesus is using that hard spot in your life because he has an end goal for that hard spot. And the end goal for that hard spot is patience. It's patience. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. But then patience brings experience. And so that hard spot you're in, the goal is to work patience in your life. And then the trial, you come to a place where you're out of that trial. And then there's a season in your life when you're in another hard spot. But now you're starting off with a level of experience because of that last trial. And now you're starting off and you see this trial, you see this certain problem in your life, but you have a level of experience to bring into it. And then God adds a little to this new experience so that he can grow you even more. And then that trial is gone. And then there's another season that comes in your life. And now you have double experience from those other trials. And so you're allowed to bring that and use that experience to your next phase of life. And then God grows you a little more in this one. You see, it's a chase. It's a growing experience going from trial to trial. And God is trying to teach us something, stretch our faith, grow us in the area of patience, and give us experience. In saying that this morning, we can rejoice because God is at work. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Isn't that a blessing this morning to know that what we're going through isn't just by chance? What we're going through isn't just by something happening in our life and God doesn't know about it. But whatever's going on in our life, whether we caused it or not, and we're a child of God, he is working all things together for good. And so Paul tells us that here. Now, let me mention this. Back in Philippians chapter number 1, verse 6, Paul says we can be confident in what God's doing. Paul is telling us that we can be confident or boast or rejoice that God is using things to work for our good and his glory. That's what Philippians 1:6 says, basically. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so we can rejoice this morning because God is at work. And then let me say lastly, we can rejoice this morning because our children are walking in the truth. 3 John chapter number 1. If you have a child and they're walking in the truth, you can rejoice this morning. 3 John, the epistles of John, John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 3 John chapter number 1, right before Jude. In this little book, John said that he rejoiced to hear that Gaius was walking in the truth. Then he went on to say that he rejoiced to hear of all God's children walking in the truth. Verse 1, 3 John, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And so he says here that he has no greater joy than to hear of my children that walk in truth. If you have a child this morning and they're of age to walk in truth, to do right, to choose what's right, walk in God's ways, and they're doing that, that's something to rejoice about. And I'm thankful this morning that I have a daughter who is saved. She is, she got saved when she was 7, and I believe she was the first one that I baptized, that I've ever baptized. It was her or Alan Morgan one. She's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But she has roots in her. She has a foundation in her that chooses God, that loves God. And I'm so very thankful of that, and I can rejoice in that this morning. And so I challenge you. I challenge you. I challenge you to take a positive viewpoint on your day today. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're challenged with, I challenge you today to rejoice. To rejoice that you have an unchanging God. To rejoice because your name is written in heaven. To rejoice because your God's at work. And to rejoice over your children walking in the truth if you have one. And that's the message this morning, rejoice. Lord willing, tonight we'll give you the opportunity to just say one or two things that you're rejoicing about right now. What has happened in your life recently that you're rejoicing about? And so we'll do that tonight downstairs. Father, we love you. We thank you this morning for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I feel like the message went out, but I feel like it went out real quick. And so, God, I just pray that you would use your word. Your word will not return void. I understand that, but I pray that you would use it to be a blessing to your people. And if that be done, then we will be glad. We love you today, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need to come pray, you can come pray today. Continue to pray while these are here. Continuing to sing.
All to Jesus I surrender.
You need to come. It's not too late.
Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing.
Read you a card. This is actually from Brother Gerald. says, thank you for the many prayers, cards, phone calls, and visits during Francis' illness. Each one gave us encouragement and strength to walk a little further on this difficult journey. Continue to pray for us over the coming weeks and months as we learn to navigate life without Francis. Much love, Gerald, Carol, and family. And so that card is up here. We'll put it on our wall. And thank you again. Good to see you, Brother Gerald. Thank you again for coming this way this morning. And appreciate everybody in attendance today. All right, anybody else got anything to say?
Amen.
All right, got an amen over here. So, praise the Lord over here. Okay. All right, well, we'll conclude. And remember tonight, 5 o'clock, we will have our fellowship together. And we'll pick it back up and find out what y'all rejoicing about. So, remember that. All right. Brother David Henderson, would you close us out in prayer?